Sharon Paragvav Mishnah Aleph. Amala Peros of the Gag Mipnea Knima, the Yardalam Tal Enam Bechiyutan. So I took my produce up to the roof because of the insects, and you wanted to protect it from insects. And Viarda and Tal and dew fell on top of them. Enam Bechiyutan, that's not Bechiyutan, because the only reason you put them up there in the first place was not for it to get wet. The purpose was to protect insects, that's not considered hechshel kabel tuma. Miskaven lekach, if you had kavana for such, the person you brought it up there was in order for dew to fall on it, that is considered bechayutan because you're not pleased with it, and now it can be hechshel kabel tuma. Helon cher shot v'katan afa pishachishiv shera leanatal in a bechayutan. If a deaf mute or a deranged person or a minor brought them up there, even if his purpose in bringing them up there was they would get wet, that's not kibbutan. Sheish la maisa ve'in la machshava. Because cherisho v'katan have maisa, they don't have machshava. They have maisa, meaning if they were to pour water on this, on the produce, that would be hechshel kabel tuma, because the actions that they do are enough to consider b'chiyutan hechshel kabel tuma. But they did an action that then resulted in water flowing, and if we have to look back at what the purpose was, they don't consider like they have machshava. Meaning, if it's a case where it makes a difference for what purpose they brought up the produce, then it won't be considered b'chiyutan because they don't have intention. As opposed to if they directly poured water on it, your intention's irrelevant. You're pouring water on something. So that's why it makes a difference. That's why, again, if they brought it up there, even if the purpose ain't tal, it won't have will not be considered hechshel kabel tuma, because it won't be not considered b'chiyutan. That concludes Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah Beis. Yes, Mishnah Beis. Hamala es hagudos, es hakitzios, es hashum legag, v'shil shiamtinu en mechayutan. If I brought up bundles of vegetables or dried figs or garlic up to the roof, so they should remain moist. They have some natural moisture that moisture is not susceptible to tumah. And you brought it up to the roof in order to maintain that. Up in the roof, it would keep the moisture longer. And then dew fell on top of them, that's not considered b'chiyutan. Because again, you don't want that to happen. You're actually probably upset by that. You don't want them to get wet and get ruined. You just want to preserve their natural moisture. So that's not considered b'chiyutan. It's not hechshel kabel tuma. Continues the Mishnah. Kol ha'agudel shabes ha'shvakin tumein. And all bundles of vegetables in the marketplace are tummy. The reason for this is when vegetables are in the marketplace for people to buy, the salesman would regularly sprinkle them with water to keep them fresh. You can see in supermarkets nowadays, they often have a sprinkler on top of the vegetables to keep them moist. The same thing here, that they would, the vegetable merchants would pour water on the vegetables to keep them fresh. And since regularly people were touching them and examining them, and there were a lot of people were tummy in the marketplace, you have to assume they have a chazaka, they have a status of becoming, assumption of being tummy. It's one of those rare cases that, at least, even according to most, the word tummy here doesn't mean usually tummy in this mesechta has been hechshel kabel tuma. Here the Rav and others understand it to be an actual, real tuma. So in this case it really means tuma. So because they are wet and they're being wet l'ratzon, you want them to get wet to stay fresh, and since people are touching and handling them, we assume they're tummy. So I buy vegetables in the marketplace, I have to assume they're tummy. Rabbi Yehuda Mitayer Balachim. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says the fresh ones are tahor. He maintained that actually only vegetables that had been there for a couple of days and started to wither, only those with the merchants squirt with water. But the fresh ones didn't need it, so they wouldn't bother with it. So you can assume the fresh ones are still tahar. And Tanakama presumably holds that no, they would actually squirt all of them. Rav Meir v'chi mibnei matimu el bnei hamashke apeh. Rav Meir said the only reason they were actually mitame, even the pure ones, was because of spit. Apparently the vegetable merchants used to spit even at the fresh ones to keep those ones tahar. So that's why they were mitame. That's why they said that. So since they would spit at them to keep them fresh, they would also be considered tameh. And the Rav explains the nafkamina between Rav Meir and the Tanakama. Tanakama says no matter what, they're cheskas tuma, even the fresh ones. Rav Meir says only in places where they spit at them. So if you're not in a place where they spit on the vegetables to keep them fresh, then it wouldn't be tameh. Tanakama would say regardless, you have to assume that they're tameh because they would squirt them with water. Concludes the Mishnah. Kol ha'kmachin v'aslasos shel beis shvakim tameyin. All flour and fine flour of the marketplace are tamei. So flour, you're buying flour, one of the issues is you have to make sure it's pure. So in order to keep flour pure, you have to soak the grain in water to get off all the bran and other stuff. So since the grain that is being put in the water, is being put in the flour, is being put in the marketplace, already been soaked, and that was done baratzon. And again, here tamei once again actually means impure, and people might have handled, because people who were tamei might have handled it, and since it was wet, actually kabel tuma, and therefore any grain or any flour really that you buy in the marketplace has a cheskas tuma. Last on the Mishnah, hachlika hatargis v'hataski. T'man m'chol makum. Chilka, targis, and taski. So these are type of grits that they used to make like porridge. So the way they did is by soaking the kernels of grains in water, and then you split them. So the Rav explained the chilka is they would split the kernels one into two. Targis is by splitting the kernels into three. And taski is made by splitting the kernels into four different pieces. That's the way the Rav explains these three different things. And here, this chilka, targis, and taski, these grits can only be made through soaking. Therefore, it doesn't matter where you get them from the marketplace or someone's home, they always have a cheskas tuma, no matter where you got them, even if not in the marketplace. Because again, the only way to get this type of grit, this type of porridge, in order for this porridge, is to soak it. Therefore, you have to assume, even if it's not in the marketplace, that they're tumma. It's not like the flour in the previous case were only market flour, people so concerned about the purity, but maybe not home flour. Here, these things can only possibly be made by soaking. You only get to be able to split it such by soaking, and therefore, no matter what, they have a cheskas tumma. That concludes Mishnah Beis.